أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
الله
على محمد. Tuesday the 3rd of June 2008. We were looking at the story of Prophet Musa عليه السلام. And last week we had come to the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints him to go to Fir'aun, and he asks for his brother to accompany him, to support him. And we saw how the similarities between the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his brother, cousin Imam Ali al-Islam, who helped him in his mission. How Prophet Musa asked for support for his mission in the form of his brother and so on. Now, Prophet Musa goes to Fir'aun. That means from there, he was on his way back anyway. He comes back to Egypt and goes to see the Fir'aun. Now, of course, the Fir'aun is very happy to see him and say, oh, okay, so you've come back. I mean, you've got to understand the scenario. You see, it's very important because these events, we have heard of these events so many times. It is important to picture the scenario that Fir'aun is happy to see him back because he was sought after for 10 years, right? And when he comes back, Musa alayhi salam starts talking about things that were strange and alien to Fir'aun. Fir'aun and his people had never heard of somebody who would come and say, forget all these gods, there's only one God. You see, the culture we read of, you know, this civilization where they prayed to the god of harvest and the god of rain and the god of hope and the god of favors and so on. Now, in that culture, suddenly Musa comes and says, no, forget everything, pray to only one god. And this is where Fir'aun is quite surprised that Musa al-Islam has the audacity to come back, one, after having killed and run away. Now he has come back and suddenly he is telling us what to do. Now, just to take you to Surah Taha, because Surah Taha is where there is good description of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the meeting of Musa al-Islam with Fir'aun. When Prophet Musa asks from Allah, and we did this last time in Surah Taha, when he asks from Allah and says, oh Allah, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِّنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. And then he says, وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. Make a wazir, that means my assistant from my family, هارون أخي اشدد به أدري. And he asks for this prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُسَى. You have been granted your prayer. And this is where we stopped last time. Then Allah reminds Musa, remember, وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. We have done this favor for you before. We have done these favors. I mean, not this particular favor of your brother accompanying you, but we have favored you all along. Now, it is at this stage that Allah reminds him, Allah reminds Musa alayhi salam, remember, in, this word is not idha, it is id. And id in Arabic means remember. Even to the Holy Prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says id, that means remember. Right? Here, Allah is reminding Prophet Musa, إِذْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ مَا يُوحَىٰ. Remember, we revealed to your mother what we revealed. We told your mother to do what she did. أَلْقِ فِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقْضِ فِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌّ لِي وَعَدُوٌّ لَهُ. Then throw this baby in a cot, in a basket, and then throw it in the river Nile. And somebody, an enemy, my enemy, Allah is telling Musa that I told your mother that my enemy and an enemy of his, that is Musa's enemy, is going to take this child. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. These are the favors Allah is telling, reminding Musa at this stage now, that that love and affinity you had towards your mother, that you refused the milk of everybody but your mother, that love, we put it in your heart. وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. So that you go back. You, what happens to you? I was watching. إِذْ تَمْشِي أُخْتُكَ فَتَقُولُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَكْفُلُهُ. Your sister. The whole story is reminded to Musa alayhi salam at this stage. When he has been appointed a prophet and he has asked for a favor that he be given his own brother as assistant, that is the time when Allah reminds him, فَرَجَعْنَاكَ إِلَىٰ أُمِّكَ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا. So we return you to your mother so that she is happy. The apple of her eye is back and she does not regret what she did. Then she says, then Allah reminds Musa alayhi salam, وَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. You killed a person and we saved you from the trauma. Gham. Gham is the trauma that comes after any kind of bad deed. You know, that worry and that misery that comes in because of your guilt. That is called gham. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَجَّيْنَاكَ فَنَجَّيْنَاكَ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَفَتَّنَّاكَ فَتُونَ. And then we sent you through different trials and tribulations. فَوَلْبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنْ ثُمَّ جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرِ يَا مُسَىٰ. Then you have come here. And all this is predestined. قَدَر. جِئْتَ عَلَىٰ قَدَرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I have prepared you for myself. Here, you're going to understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works with Prophet's lives. Remember the story of Prophet Yusuf when he was thrown away into the well and a caravan came and took Yusuf away and slayed him. He ended up a prince in that region. Remember the story when Yusuf was in the prison and all that, and then finally he meets up with his father. That is what Yaqub alayhi salam always used to tell his sons, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. At least three or four times he told his son, whenever they used to come and tell him about anything and he asked about Yusuf, they would say, you're still daydreaming, Yusuf is not going to come back. And he would say, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know from Allah what you know not. What was Yusuf referring? What was Yaqub referring to? Yaqub was referring to the dream that Yusuf had seen. The first dream that he had seen, that there are 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowing down before him. Yusuf had narrated this dream to his father Yaqub, and Yaqub had told him, don't tell this to your brothers. Now, that interpretation of the dream, that the father, the mother and the 11 brothers are going to bow down before Yusuf, was very fresh in Yaqub's mind. So he knew that nothing could have happened to Yusuf until this dream is realized. Until there is that particular scenario where everybody is bowing down before. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes Yusuf through all this, when in fact Yaqub, the father, knows what is going to happen. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures the Prophet. Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا. We put you through different trials and tribulations. This is Surah Taha again, yeah? وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا. That means so many trials and tribulations you went through. Why? وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I created you. I nurtured you. for my mission, for my proximity, to come close to me. اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. Go you and your brother with these lines of mine, but do not slip, do not reduce, do not lack in remembering me. You see, these things go together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a mission to Prophet Musa or any other prophet. That mission has its own instructions. Do this, this is how you go, present what you have, the miracles, the magic acts, whatever it is. But don't forget, your main mission is bound and intertwined with your own practices to come close to me. Don't forget. Remember me. Remember the prayers you have to do. Do that ibadah. Otherwise, that mission of conveying is useless. This particular concept is so strong in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think it is in Surah Saff, where he says, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنَّ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you do not do? In Allah's eyes is a very grave situation where you say something and do not do it. Allah reminds His prophets that do this. Here He says, go to Fir'aun, you and your brother, by my friends, but don't forget to remember me. That means don't forget your individual duty to practice what you have gone to convey. You have gone to convey to Fir'aun and his people, remember God, He is the one, we should remember Him and so on. You at the same time do not wait for their responses. You don't forget to remember me. اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَىٰ. You see, Allah is telling Musa to go to Fir'aun. إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ is the word. Allah has qualified Fir'aun as somebody who has become arrogant. طَغَىٰ is from the word طُغَىٰ, طَغُوت. طَغُوت is somebody who has bypassed all his boundaries and has become arrogant on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He defies Allah. Allah is categorizing, is qualifying Fir'aun as إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Then He reminds Musa alayhi salam, but you go فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Fir'aun, who has called himself أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ, I am your master, I am your lord. Fir'aun, who has killed all those young boys of Banu Israel. Fir'aun, who has enslaved the Banu Israel. Fir'aun, who was a torturer, a zalim, a tyrant, you name it. Who called himself God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. You know what قَوْلُ اللَّيِّن? Layin salt. قَوْل means what? That means you talk to him in a soft language. Go to him. Appeal to him. Tell him, these are the signs of God. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَنَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Either he may, he probably, لَعَلَّهُ is probably, he probably may remember, يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Or he will be frightened, he will get scared and come back and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten all the atrocities that Fir'aun has committed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept aside the gravity of what Fir'aun has done. And despite all that, Allah is saying here, I am still sending you guidance in a polite manner, appealing to your logic, such that you may remember. And if Fir'aun had remembered, had accepted, Allah would have accepted. Because Allah sent Musa for that purpose. That is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his own creation. The love that Allah has for his abd is remarkable. I mean, we cannot comprehend. This is just something to give us an idea. That somebody like Fir'aun and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa. Of course, there is a limit to everything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then even doesn't forgive Fir'aun when he, you know, when he remembers Allah and says, I believe in the God of Musa when he was about to drown, and Allah says, Al-An, I mean now. Right? So, that, there is a limit to everything. But you can imagine that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa and Harun to Fir'aun and he tells them, he gives them specific instructions, then be soft in your approach. Tell them politely, convey to them politely, and if they accept, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Now, when Allah told Musa this, Musa and Harun were afraid of something. They were afraid of how to go into the courts of Fir'aun. How to do that? Because they were wanted. They were fugitives. Musa had run away. And here, Allah was asking them to go into the lion's den and say, I have come with a message. I mean, you can imagine the impact this had on Musa al-Islam. Prophet Musa and Harun prayed to Allah, قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يُفْرِطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوَ يَطْغَى. Either he will, you know, undermine us, or he will become so arrogant. This is what he will do. قَالَ لَا تَخَافَا. Don't be afraid. إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَهْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assuring Musa and Harun, do not worry, do not be frightened. I am with the two of you. إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا. I am with the two of you. أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. That means I am listening to what is happening and I can see what is happening. فَأْتِيَاهُ. Now go to him. فَقُولَا. Say these words. إِنَّا رَسُولَ رَبِّكَ. We are the messengers of your Lord. فَأَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Send with us بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ. وَلَا تَعَذِّبْهُمْ. Don't punish them, don't torture them. قَدْ جِئْنَاكَ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الْهُدَى. We have come with a sign from your Lord, and peace is for those who follow guidance. Now you can see from here that the mission of Prophet Musa al-Islam was not only to say La ilaha illallah, was not only to say that there is only one God and believe in one God. No. Prophet Musa had two missions. One was to convey to Fir'aun that there is only one God and all these gods you are worshipping are useless. And the other mission was to save Banu Israel. Which is, the Banu Israel were the favored people at the time. You know, وَذْكُرْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, that remember the bounties that Allah favored you with, that is the Banu Israel. He chose you, فَضَّلَكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. He chose you over the rest of the world. These Jews, these Banu Israel who think that they are the sons of God, that thinking has a certain basis in the Quran. That certain basis is that yes, Allah did favor them at the time. At the time, the Quran goes on to say that Allah then sent His wrath over them. Allah cursed. But at that time, they are stuck with that feeling up to today. That we are the chosen ones, we are the sons of God. And that everything we want, we should get from God. You see the demands they make to Prophet Musa, that we want this, we want this, we want this. Tell your God to do this, tell your God to do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously does that. Why? Because Allah favors them at that particular phase in creation, in life, in the world. Allah is favoring them and is granting them whatever they ask for. So, Allah sent Musa with a mission, same of Israel. So you go to Fir'aun, you tell him that we are the messengers of your Lord. فَإِنَّا رَسُولَ رَبِّكَ. Your Lord. And that was already the first message. Krohn would say, who is my Lord? I am the Lord. I am the greatest of them all. Who is my Lord? Right? And that would start a debate and discussion. And so that was one message. And the other message was, قَدْ جَئْنَاكَ فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا بَلِ إِسْرَائِيلِ and send بَلِ إِسْرَائِيلِ with us. Right. At this stage, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Musa, you go and tell him about that we are messengers of your Lord, and that give us Bani Israel to save them. Inna qad uhiya ilayna anna al-'adhab 'ala man kadhaba wa tawalla. That means those who do not believe and turn away from this message will be punished and tortured. Now, you can see the message. There is the message of Tawheed, where Prophet Musa is saying, Rabbika, Rasula Rabbika, that is your Lord. And there is the message of Nubuwa, Inna Rasula Rabbika, we are messages. And there is the message of Mi'ad as well. قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْنَا أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ لِمَنْ عَلَى مَنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. So whoever turns away will be punished. All these three roots of religion, which are true today, were true even at that time. These form the basis of religion. Now, when Fir'aun asks, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمْ يَا مُوسَى. So who is your Lord? Who is your two? رَبُّكُمَا as in two people. He is addressing two people. But he's saying, يَا مُوسَى. فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. He wanted to hear from Musa. قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, my Lord, Musa alayhi salam says, my Lord is the master who created everything and guided it. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. That means every creation has inbuilt mechanism for self-guidance. Like a dog would know what to do. A plant knows where to move towards sunlight, wherever there is sunlight. Yeah. Where does this go? Where does this feeling come from? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created and perfected every creation and instilled in every creature a self-mechanism of guidance. A mechanism of self-guidance. Which we also have. Yes. We need some external factor, external force to trigger it, to activate it. And that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends. But that internal mechanism of self-guidance is always there. Musa alayhi salam says, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Then he guided. قَالَ فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى. Musa, you're telling me this, that everybody he created and that everybody was guided, everybody had this mechanism of self-guidance. So what about those people who passed before us? They were never guided. And Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ عَلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَاب لَا يَضَلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. That knowledge, the knowledge of those people who are before you and me. عَلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. See, it is very easy to say, كَعَلَى جَهَنَمِشِ. Right? They all lost pieces, yeah, lost cause. But Musa alayhi salam clearly says, I am not here to judge those past people. Knowledge of those past people is with my Lord. لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. He would not misguide, nor would he ever forget. That means that those people, whoever, wherever they were, whatever path they had chosen, they will be accountable for their own decisions. Here, now, and now, let's talk. Forget the past. The past has nothing to do with the message I am bringing just now. This message is for you and me, and for the future generations. So don't divert. You see, this was Musa al-Islam's. Firaun was trying to divert and say, okay, let's settle the past first. Let's talk about them first. And Musa was saying, no, don't worry about that. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do. It's with God. Let's talk about here and now. Let's see what we can do. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, here in Surah Taha, He changes the tone, the genre of the verses by talking about Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Musa says, لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى, my Lord would never forget nor misguide, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَهْدًا وَسَلَكَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلًا وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْ نَبَاتٍ شَتَّى. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Himself. This is not what Musa al-Islam described, because now Allah has changed the address to talking Himself. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ, that means we took out, we removed, we extracted, right? الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مَهْدًا, that means who created the earth as a cradle for you. وَسَلَكَ لَكُمْ فِيهَا سُبُلًا, and He created so many different paths for you. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, and He revealed or He sent down water from the skies. فَأَخْرَجْنَا, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns again now from third party to first party. Now He says, فَأَخْرَجْنَا, now we removed, بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْ نَبَاتٍ شَتَّى, pears from different kinds of plantations. كُلُوا وَرْعَوْا أَنْعَامَكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَى. Eat from these and take care of your sheep. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَى. In these are the signs for those who understand. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. We created you. It's talking about the earth, huh? We created you from it. وَفِيهَا نُعِدُكُمْ, and we shall return you into it. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى, and once again we shall take you out from it. The phases of life. We created you from clay. We're going to put you to rest inside the same earth that you were walking on. And we should again take you out from that earth. Now Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَرَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا كُلَّهَا فَكَذَّبَ فَأَبَى وَأَبَى. We showed Him all the things. فَكَذَّبَ, He belied them. He said, no, this is not possible. وَأَبَى, and He refused to believe. What are the signs? The signs we know. Surat Qasas, yeah? We were talking about Surat Qasas, where the signs were, He threw His stick, the staff, that turned into a snake. And He extracted His hand from His pocket that was glowing white, right? These are the two main signs that He showed. Fir'aun. And Fir'aun was not happy with these signs. Why was he not happy? Because, you know, when we talk about the Quran and we talk about our Holy Prophet, we say, why didn't the people at the time accept that this is a miracle? We were living at a time when there were poets, their expertise was in poetry. They were so renowned for their poetry, they would stand up and compose immediate, you know, impromptu poems. And the Quran came in that atmosphere. The Holy Prophet recited these verses, and immediately those people could look at it and say, no, this cannot be the words of an ordinary human being. Right? مَا هَذَا كَلَامُ بَشَرٍ. These cannot be the words of an ordinary human being. Because you are living in a world of poetry. Every day you hear different kind of poems. There are so many poets sitting, they gather together to share poetry. And suddenly the Holy Prophet comes up with two verses or three verses, and all that they have been brought up with is shattered. they see through the miracle of what is there, right? But who sees through? It is the poets, the experts who can see that. Fir'aun's lab, during the time of Fir'aun, you're living in a world of sorcery and magic. All this witchcraft and black magic and all these things were there at that time, Fir'aun's time. And when these kind of tricks took place, to them immediately was the magician. That is why Musa was immediately told that have you come with a new kind of magic that you want to get rid of us from our land? You want to prove that you're something good from? You want to get rid of it? Now, when Musa threw the stick and that stick turned into a snake, Fir'aun did get frightened because that was something new. Yet, he attributed this to just another trick that he is not aware of. A trick that he wants to learn. A trick that probably he can do if he, you know, concentrated, if he learned. And so, he was not satisfied that this is a miracle to prove the message of Musa. No. This is just another trick. And this is what he told Musa alayhi salam. He says, Ya Musa, أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا قَالَ أَجِئْتَنَا لِتُخْرِجَنَا مِنْ أَرْضِنَا بِسِحْرِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Have you come to remove us from our land by this your magic, O Musa? Is this what you're going to do? And Musa, of course, but Fir'aun was so adamantly convinced that this is just a magic trick. Because remember, the environment is all magic. That is their life. So he says, فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. We shall bring you magic like that. Fir'aun, who was the father of all magicians, did not know how to combat this particular trick. But he says, فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. We have the resources. I am the king. I will gather together everybody possible. We shall get together. فَلَنَأْتِيَنَّكَ بِسِحْرٍ مِثْلِهِ. فَاجْعَلْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ مَوْعِدًا لَا نُخْلِفُهُ. Let us arrange a date that we shall combat, we shall meet, we shall not run away. نَحْنُ وَلَا أَنْتَ مَكَانًا سُوَى. A neutral place. When we can get together, nobody will flee, neither you nor us. You know the time and date. A date and place. And Musa alayhi salam says, fine. Musa did not know what is happening. Huh? For two reasons. Number one, Musa alayhi salam was not into magic. The impact and the effect of what he had done was something that Fir'aun felt more than Musa alayhi salam could understand. Why? Musa alayhi salam was just carrying out what Allah had told him to do. His faith was none other than Allah. Now, when he did that, Fir'aun says, are you trying to run us away, make us run away by using your magic? No. We will get together. We will gather together all these magicians. Give us a time and place and we will meet. قَالَ مَوْعَدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَ. Now Musa alayhi salam says, your day is يَوْمُ الزِّينَ. يَوْمُ الزِّينَ in that culture was a huge festival day where the people got together to celebrate in their mass. It was a carnival day. And a place was known, you see, Fir'aun asks for a time and a place, makan and suwa, a neutral place. Yet Musa alayhi salam replies, he does not reply with a place, he just says day, yawm al-zina. Why? Because on that day, people get together at one place. It was renowned. So he did not need to elaborate what the place is. He just said, مَوْعِدُكُمْ يَوْمُ الزِّينَةِ وَأَنْ يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَىٰ. It will be in the afternoon when people will get together. So he did not mention the place, but the place was understood because of the link to the day, that day was a special day renowned to everybody of Fir'aun's followers. Now, this is where Fir'aun goes back and says, now I need to do something. In Surah Qasas, before I go to the next stage where Fir'aun then gets together his magicians to discuss, before I go, if you look at Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 35, 36. In Surah Al-Qasas, the description of when Fir'aun, when Musa al-Islam meets Fir'aun, is slightly more elaborate in terms of Fir'aun arguing with Musa al-Islam about God. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالُوا مَا هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُفْتَرَى. Now when they came, when Musa al-Islam came with the signs, they said, this is just magic tricks. وَمَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ. And we have not heard this from our forefathers. وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْهُدَى مِنْ عِنْدِهِ وَمَنْ تَكُونُ لَهُ عَاقِبَةُ الدَّارِ. Musa al-Islam says, look, do whatever you like. My Lord knows better who is guided and who is going to succeed. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those who are unjust will never be victorious. وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ. Now Fir'aun undermines the message that Musa has brought. He says, O people, Ya Ayyuhal Mala'u, that means people around him, Ya Ayyuhal Mala'u, Ma Alimtu Lakum Min Ilahin Ghayri. I have never taught you a God other than me. This is what Fir'aun is saying, huh? Ma Alimtu Lakum Ilahum Ghayri. Ma Lakum Min Ilahin Ghayri. Fa'awqid li Ya Haman, O Haman, build something. على الطين فاجعل لي صرحا a tower. On this ground build something, a tower, لعلي اطلع الى اله موسى, so that I may look for Musa's God. Now he is undermining, you know, he is his mashkari, you know, trying to make a joke out of it. But you can see that the concept Musa al-Islam was trying to tell them is that Allah is high above everything. And they would literally think high above at Leopardia. There. Right? When in actual fact, whenever we say high and above, we mean that it is beyond what we comprehend. It does not mean up there or down here. It just means it is beyond any kind of description, beyond and above any kind of qualities you give. وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. I think Musa is liars. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Now Allah is saying, Fir'aun, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. He became arrogant. هُوَ وَجُنُودُهُ. He and his army. فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. On this earth, without the right to do so. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا يَرْجَعُونَ. And they thought they would not come back to us. This is Allah speaking now, yeah. فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ. So we took him and his soldiers. فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. And we drowned them in the river. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Look at what the end of these unjust people. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. And we met them, the leaders who called others towards the fire of hell. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يُنْصَرُونَ. And on the day of judgment, they will not be helped. وَأَتْبَعْنَاهُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لَعْنَةً. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هُمْ مِنَ الْمَقْبُوحِينَ. In this world, they are the cursed ones. And in the hereafter, they are the ones who are the despised ones, the ugly ones. Right. I don't know if I should continue because this is going to take a different time. We have another 10 or 15 minutes. But let me take questions just now, and then if there is time, we'll talk about what do you call it, the magician, how they got together and how Musa al-Islam.
Salam. Because you know you said the Israelis were not a time.
Banu Israel.
Were the chosen people. What made God choose them as the people that he liked most at that time? And first of all, why, since they were chosen, were they not? They must have been the favored people before Musa came.
Yes. This is the question about Banu Israel, that if they were the chosen ones on which on whom Allah showered bounties and favors, then first of all, why? Who are they? You must remember who the Banu Israel were. The Banu Israel were the sons of Yaqub, right? And Yaqub's other name is Israel. So, if you look at the time of Prophet, by the time we go to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the generations of course multiplied exponentially, as they call it here. Yeah? So, the numbers increased. But, the favor on them was that they were the descendants of Yaqub alayhi salam. And Allah had sent so many prophets down to them. I mean, after Yusuf, there were other prophets down to these Banu Israel, who despite all the messages were always trying to distort practices to their community. This was a hallmark of the Banu Israel at the time. Right? Every time they were told to do something, they would try and negotiate, compromise, come to an understanding and say, this for our community. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up to this level, now this is the final bit where Allah is saying, fine, you've done whatever you've done, still another chance I'm giving you. I will even give you guidance in terms of written work, now do this and don't do this. Remember, the Banu Israel were not ready to take the favors that Allah was giving them. Why? Because they wanted miracle after miracle. They wanted Allah to do everything for them. Literally to spoon feed them. I mean, if you look at the bit where they were going to enter Jerusalem. And outside Jerusalem, Prophet Musa gets them together and says, now look, this city Allah has promised you. Why don't we go and fight it? It was not Jerusalem. It was a city before Jerusalem. Were on their way towards Jerusalem. And Prophet Musa says, look, let's go. Allah says, we can go conquer this city, take it over, have food, stay for a few days, and then we'll move to Jerusalem. And you know what the response of the Jews was? اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا نحن هاهنا قاعد. We don't want to fight. We want to kill ourselves. No way, man. We're going to sit here. You and your God go. Imagine the language they're using. People who had seen Fir'aun being drowned right in front of their eyes. People who had seen the miracles that included the miracles of the clouds going over them, giving them shade. People who had seen the miracles of rivers bursting out from rocks to provide them with drinking water. People who had seen food coming down from the skies for their sustenance. People who had witnessed all these miracles, and now they say, oh, you and your Lord go and fight. The language itself. That's all it is. And that was the hallmark of Jesus, starting from the sons of Banu Israel.
Also, right, this one of the things sometimes we confuse, I think, is chosen and favored. Chosen is very exclusive term. Favored, it doesn't mean it is in the description. Perhaps we are favored because of our being the name of the Prophet. Is that something we can think about?
The word in chosen in English, as opposed to the word favored, perhaps the word chosen has the sense, in English language, connotation of exclusivity. Fortunately, in Arabic, it is not that. And therefore, in translation, when you say English word chosen, especially in biblical literature, you're referring to exclusive to like a group of people. Yes, in that sense, it is the favored ones because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored them. there was nothing like the Coptics could not become Muslims, you know, followers of Musa. No, in fact, there were Coptics who became followers of Musa al-Islam, right? So it was not exclusive to the Banu Israel. But they were the main target, right? They were the favored ones. They were the ones who Allah wanted to save and bring out into prominence. They never took it. Perhaps, yes, in English it does make a difference.
Sisters, on the prayers, you might say one of your sisters. Go ahead.
You say what?
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for your lecture. I've got two questions, please. I don't know how far is the truth. Hopefully you can correct us or the enlarge us. I've heard from Zakiri. There was a time when it was not raining in Egypt, and people went to Pharaoh and said, look, you are claiming the gods. And say, now, bring us rain. And Pharaoh went in the room, called himself, and said, Ya Allah, you know that I am not Allah, but you are Allah. Send rain, no? That's the first question. How far is true? I'll put that claim from the member. You know, that's a long time ago. You know? Second question. What was the incident because the Jews migrated from Palestine to Medina, waiting for Abraham's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the incident which they fell out from Prophet Muhammad?
Fell out from?
Fell out.
Why did they send the message of the Holy Prophet?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, the first question about the incident where I have heard that too, and I must say that I have heard that too, that one day there was no rain in private, on praise to God, and rain does fall and says, see, I find that far-fetched. I mean, I have not read it anywhere. I mean, I've read books of Qisas al-Anbiya of different authors, al-Hayri and all that. I have not found that story, nor in any tafsir. And so it could be a story that is the Israeliyat. You know, in Quran tafsir, you have a lot of Israeliyat coming in, yeah? Israeliyat are the versions of the Jews, where they, after conversion to Islam, they infiltrated into the literature of Muslims as authentic Muslim ahadith, where in actual fact it was their belief from their forefathers and their books. Today we have a lot of those. It's called Israeliyat. In any case, I have not come across nor read that particular incident anywhere, and to me it simply does not make sense. Wallahu a'lam. So we'll leave that aside. The second question is an interesting question as to the Jews migrated towards Yathrib, you know, Medina, to be there waiting for the Holy Prophet to come, because according to their calculations, according to their predictions, there was going to be a Messiah, a Savior, from this area at this time. The reason why they fell out was that they did not believe it was not a Jew. They wanted it to be a Jew. And suddenly comes out an Arab who claims to be a prophet and says, oh, no way. That's why that difference, you know, the exclusivity of being chosen as opposed to favored. They could not comprehend. Don't forget, for years, right, the prophets of Banu Israel. And mind you, Musa al-Islam was not the last one. After Musa, it was up to Prophet Isa. Now, all these were from Banu Israel. Here they could not comprehend, how is this a great prophet, a promised Messiah, and from an Arab, a non-Jew, a Gentile? No. And that's why they fell out. They refused to believe.
I want to continue on that for two questions. Continue on those both the questions. If the first one is not true, how come Ali that reciting that in the member, you know, without researching or anything that, it's misleading, you know? Because if Pharaoh went in the womb and called, that Allah, you know you are Allah, that he must be the living Allah, right? Second question, you see, I have, you may be right because you are searching God, scholar of God, you see, that, see, when the Jews came from Palestine and Prophet, they knew he was the Prophet, that one of the Jews went and robbed somebody, stolen something from somebody. And then that Jew was taken to the Prophet. You see, the Jews went, the rich Jews went to them and said, because they were chosen one, he said, leave him, we'll do everything with what you say, but he is it. And Prophet said, no, in the eyes of Allah, everybody has got to be judged. The justice should be fair, you know. So this is what I heard. Now I live it with.
Well, the difference between what you hear and what you see is so much. I'll tell you, first of all, the question number one, whoever recites what is taking their responsibility, you know, it is, I agree people should be a bit more careful with what they recite, but that is up to the reciters. The second one also is, I haven't come across that incident, it may be true, that there is an incident like that, where the Prophet did not give in to peer pressure of the wealthy. Right? Now that is a fact. The Prophet never gave in to any kind of peer pressure. So it may be a fact. The fact means that the rule to chop off hands came at a much later stage when the Prophet was in Medina. The conveying of message to the Jews started earlier. But in any case, I'm not here to argue about the time factor. The Prophet even said, if my own daughter Fatima does that, I would chop half of this off. I mean, the Prophet is reported to have said that. Right? Why? Mufassirin give their own versions. Why did the Prophet say that? The Prophet said that because to show the importance. Fatima alayhi salam cried that day, so why did you mention my name? Allah, the Prophet explains to Fatima alayhi salam that your name because I know you would never do it. And the number two is because people understand the gravity of how important it is to be fair. So that kind of event may have taken place. But if you look at the history of the Jews, you find that the argument which says that they were adamant in denying the Prophet's prophethood because of their ancestry. This is a Gentile, and we are Jews. The Prophet has to be a form of the Messiah. That is why. It's history and analysis, after all.
The same thing happened when Bilal was made a Muslim, the Arabs did not like it.
Absolutely. Agreed. And that was not right.
Thank you, sisters.
I don't think there was a place, there is a place which mentions that the favor stopped as such. This is doubt, definitely. There was prominence on the Jews until the time of Prophet Isa al Islam, right? But then it fizzled out, and with the prominence or the focus shifting to our Holy Prophet, amongst the Arabs, the Jews were by then had not only lost favors from Allah, but had encountered the wrath of Allah. If you look at the way that Allah is talking about the Jews by the time the Holy Prophet comes, you find that there is that element of anger from Allah, the wrath from Allah, that I have done so much for you, and you have done nothing but turn away from me. You have not taken from me. So there is no exact time frame, as you know, or event or incident that is mentioned in the Quran as such. No.
I don't know if this is correct. I've heard somebody mention in the lecture one that that when Nabi Isa came, and finally when they tried to kill him, this was the last straw, and Allah, when he withdrew Nabi Isa from them, he withdrew his favor. So since then, they have never had any other prophet come from them or.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's quite logical in understanding that the Quran talks about these two events, and in between those two events, there is no mention of anything. The event of Prophet Isa's being lifted away, ascension into heaven, and Prophet Muhammad's birth to Arabs, right, or advent into the Arabs. Now, between that, there's no mention of any prophet, there's no mention of what happens. So, one would assume that here there is a cut of summer. Whether that is because nothing has been mentioned in the Quran, or that is truly the situation, is something that I cannot remember.
It wasn't so much even that Amisa was offended, that he was withdrawn. So that was the comparison of
the name. It's a question of perspective. Was Isa withdrawn, or was he ascended into heaven to be brought back later? Perspective, interesting. Thank you.
In the first lecture we discussed that Prophet Shoaib, one of the conditions for Prophet Musa to stay was that he should stay for 8 years at least. Now, whenever prophets have this kind of statement, there must be some wisdom behind it. What could have been the reason?
The 8 years that Prophet Shoaib asked for, I have a feeling, and that is my own analysis, because there is no way I have read here why did Shoaib ask for 8 years. But I have a feeling it is to do with a cycle of growth as far as agriculture is concerned, because Prophet Musa al-Islam was asked to tend to the farms and the land of Prophet Shoaib. So the number of years to grow something might have been either in multiples of twos or fours to get to eight. So that there are so many cycles in which Prophet Musa would be there to take care of the land. And then he would go leaving behind something for Shoaib and his other daughter or whatever. But that is my understanding. Allah.
Nobody
has seen anything in Tafsir? No, Tafsir is not. I have not seen anything.
Any sisters? The promised land,
yes, it was promised to Banu Israel, but it was promised at that time, during the time of Prophet Musa al-Islam. And at that time, they refused to go into it, and for 40 years they were punished in such a way that they would wander around the desert, just going round and round, not being able to find a place. And they suffered for 40 years. 40 years is generation, And then Prophet Musa al-Islam passed away before they could enter Jerusalem. Now, that was the promised land for them at that time. And despite all these, obstacles and disobedience and so on, they never got to the promised land in the time or rather with Prophet Musa al-Islam, which Allah would have loved to actually give them that opportunity, but it did not happen because they were refusing to go. Now, they are using the same, in fact you find that their kind of justification to what they are doing now, their arrogance right now, it is so much reflective of that attitude that they had done at the time. You find they're trying to extrapolate the very way they behaved with Prophet Musa al-Islam at the time. Now, there's only one difference, and that is that they're arrogant to do what they like with no one to stop them. That's right there, they were arrogant in making their demands. So they would sit back and say, send it to me, give it to me, let us go. That freedom that came with Prophet Musa al-Islam. They were enslaved by they were labor class with Fir'aun. Musa al-Islam liberated them, emancipated them, took them, promised them, and they were then suddenly demonic. Now they are, you know, approaching the whole outlook, their outlook is like, we have been given this, our birthright. And so it is ours. Well, they were banished from the Polish land. They were banished as such. They were taken over. They were conquered. But they were there for a long time. You know, if you remember, Nabi Zakaria, Nabi Yahya, Nabi Isa, all from that area.
Sisters,
because
I'm speaking to you, that asked me.
The question on you know the land that they conquered before, with Musa told them to let them go and fight on the land before they went to Jerusalem.
Before.
Was, I think it was Jericho.
Jericho.
So when they conquered Jericho,
yes.
Why did they not think that was the promised land? Because it was something Musa told them to go and conquer, to finish off.
By the time they conquered Jericho, Prophet Musa had passed away.
Oh.
Prophet Musa was not there in Jericho. See, for 40 years they suffered, they did not even enter Jericho. Right? It was Jericho that they were told, you go and fight and conquer and you will win. And they said, you go and your Lord goes. And then Allah says, now because of that attitude, for 40 years you will not enter it. That small village, which was so close to Jerusalem.
Was there a reason to conquer Jericho first before entering the
conquest? I don't think so. I think it was just on their way. I think it was just a question of rations and supplies. But don't forget, after Prophet Musa came, Yusha bin Nun and all these, you know, Harun and whoever the prophets were, they continued with their journey from Jericho to all the way to Jerusalem. Masjid al-Aqsa was their ultimate target, where the Banu Israel were known to be, to have that Masjid al-Aqsa as the axis of the worship. The Rahbaniyin, you know, the monks and the priests would be in the vicinity of that mosque.
They're talking
Madian. Madian ke Madian?
Madian.
Shu'aib Madian. Whereabouts is Madian? I don't know geographically. Whereabouts is Madian? North Jordan? North of Jordan somewhere? But it was far up.
Because the border of Jordan is Syria. Then you said north of Jordan, you mean to say further towards Syria?
Further towards Syria.
Because if you visualize the map,
yes, I'm trying to see. All I know is Madian was far towards the right and up from Egypt. And that takes us to Jordan. Egypt, the right, if you cross up there, that's where Jordan is. And then yes, you're on the western part of Syria and Iraq, possibly. Ahsant, thank you, and until next week, inshallah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tahirin. Oh,